Prabhupada, yes, July to December. She would come. And your health was better, Prabhupada. And your health was better, Prabhupada. Not very good. So many troubles. When I came back, there's always a bad sound going on. Gong, gong, gong in my brain. Very disturbing. In this Los Angeles, I was staying in some, I forgot, La Cienega, Prabhupada. No, La Cienega later on. I was staying near Pico. Is that Pico? There was, I think, Washington Boulevard near there. I forgot that quarter. This is an excerpt from a room conversation with His Divine Grace in Vrindavan, September 9, 1976. Prabhupada, because as soon as the ship stopped, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, the immigration department came and took the papers. So I entered America in Boston. There was no checking in New York. The ship stopped in Boston. The official entrance was done there. Then I came to New York. It is just like one day's travel. Hari Kesh. And then you went directly to Pennsylvania by bus, Prabhupada? Yes. Then one agent appointed by my host, Gopal Agarwal, he was in Butler, so he arranged with some professional, what is called host, Hari Kesha. Travel agent? Prabhupada, maybe travel agent. He came to see me that I am sent by Gopal Agarwal, so I'll arrange for your dispatch. You come with me. Hari, sorry. Dr. Agarwal was your sponsor? Prabhupada, yes. His father came to see me sometime in Agra. His father, mother came. Hari, sorry. And then they suggested that he be your sponsor, Prabhupada. It was all by chance. I was for a few days guest at his father's place in Agra. I did not know that his son is in America. So he was talking about his family. He was a little sorry that the eldest son went to America to study electric engineering, and he was entrapped by an English girl, and he married and settled there, and did not come back in this way. So I took the opportunity that, why don't you ask your son to sponsor me? I wanted to go to America, so I did not know how seriously he took it, but I simply told him, why don't you ask your son to sponsor me at least for 1 month? So I'm thinking of going to America. Then that was talking, beginning and end, that's all. I did not know that he took it very seriously. Then, after 2-3 months, some documents came. I was receiving my letters in a post box. So when I left Delhi, I used to keep my key of post box with some nice bookseller, Atmaram. He was manager. So he opened that. He got the documents. That is, no objection certificate, sponsor and everything. I was out of Delhi. Then when I came back, I took it. So everything was there. That sheet from the Indian consulate, no objection certificate. Then I applied for a passport. In this way, I had to go. So Gopal was unknown to me, but his father was. His father was known to me. His father was, then his agent got me on the bus. So on the bus, I went to Pennsylvania. Hari, sorry, that's a long drive. Prabhupada, yes, 9 hours on the bus. And I took a little chipped rice and whatever I had with me. Sometimes we're thinking that it's very tedious to sit in an airplane for 9 hours to go all the way to Delhi. But when we think of what Prabhupada's age was, and he was going just on the bus for 9 hours. Yes, 9 hours on the bus, and I took a little chipped rice and whatever I had with me. So I got down from the ship about 1 o'clock. The ship, he calls it. And then I had to wait for the bus till 5 o'clock. I see. Then at 5 o'clock, the bus started. About 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I went to Pennsylvania, and just in front of the bus, Gopal was standing with his car, that what is called van car, station wagon, Prabhupada, station wagon. So I took my luggage, and from there, 30 miles off, the Butler County. So I went there. Then at night, he took my indistinct. The next day, he had no many rooms in his apartment. He arranged for my stay in a YMCA nearby them. You actually stayed with them then. You never actually stayed with them then, Prabhupada. I was taking my meals there. Oh, but just keeping a room at the YMCA, Prabhupada. Because he had no room, so I was staying there. And then he arranged programs. Speaking programs? Prabhupada. His wife, Sally, she was arranging. A very intelligent girl. They were of the same age, about 30. Gopal was more than 30, and she was indistinct. I saw that she was feeding her child, one boy, meat powder. Harikesh. Beef bouillon? Prabhupada. I do not know what is the name, but I asked. She said it is meat powder. That is the system? Hari Sori. When they were very young, they can't eat solids. Prabhupada. With hot water. Hari Sori. Yes, they have instant meals for children. All different kinds of things. Prabhupada. So Gopal was very much pleased that he could get some Indian chapatis like this. Hari Sori. So he had you cook for him. You took your cooker with you? Is that the same one? Prabhupada. No, I lived with him for 21 days. Then I came to New York. Hari Sori. Yes, that picture in the Butler Eagle. It's in the Vyasa Puja book this year. Prabhupada. Yes, yes. Butler County. It is good. There were many churches. People have got so many churches. Sometime one piece of wire lying in one place, one piece of bamboo was lying in another place, and one dry shell of squash was lying. So one intelligent man collected. So this dry shell became the tamburas. What is called? Hari Sori. I don't know. Like sound chamber. What do you call it? Prabhupada. Sound chamber may be called. So with that dry squash, he made the sound chamber. The bamboo he fixed up and the wire upon it, and then it became a tin, tin, tin. Laughs. Our organization is like that. I was loitering in the street. Somebody was over there. Somebody was there. Not combined together. International Society String Band. Yes, separately we are all useless, eh? So that story Prabhupada tells again and again about how to sort of create something from nothing, or disparate things being formed together into a unified whole to make something worthwhile. And here's comparing it to the way his society started. Someone was loitering here, someone was there. He came along and added a Srimad Bhagavatam or Krishna Bhakti, and gradually International Society String Band came into existence. So reading from the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, finishing off the introduction and starting the Adi Lila. Finishing the foreword. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda. The chief historical sources for the life of Sri Krishna Chaitanya are the Kadachas, diaries, kept by Murari Gupta and Swarupa Damodar Goswami. Murari Gupta, the physician and close associate of Sri Chaitanya, recorded extensive notes on the first 24 years of Sri Chaitanya's life, culminating in his initiation into the renounced order sannyas. The events of the rest of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's 48 years are recorded in the diary of Swarupa Damodar Goswami, another of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate associates. Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita is divided into three sections called Leelas, which literally means pastimes. Adi Leela, the early period, Madhya Leela, the middle period, and Ancha Leela, the final period. The notes of Murari Gupta form the basis of the Adi Leela, and Srupa Damodar's diary provides the details for the Madhya and Ancha Leelas. The first 12 of the 17 chapters of Adi Leela constitute the preface for the entire work. By referring to Vedic scriptural evidence, this preface establishes Sri Chaitanya as the avatar, incarnation of Krishna, God, for the age of Kali. The current epoch, beginning with 5,000 years ago and characterized by materialism, hypocrisy, and dissension. In these descriptions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is identical with Krishna, descends to liberally grant pure love of God to the fallen souls in this degraded age by propagating Sankirtan, literally, quote, congregational glorification of God, end quote. Especially by organizing massive public chanting of the Maha Mantra, great chant for deliverance. He has that all capitalized, great chant for deliverance. The esoteric purpose of Lord Chaitanya's appearance in the world is revealed. His co-avatars and principal devotees are described, and his teachings are summarized. The remaining portion of Adi Leela, chapters 13 through 17, briefly recounts his divine birth and his life until he accepted the renounced order. This includes his childhood miracles, schooling, marriage, and early philosophical confrontations, as well as his organization of a widespread Sankirtan movement and his civil disobedience against the repression of the Mohammedan government. The subject of Majjalila, the longest of the three divisions, is a detailed narration of Lord Chaitanya's extensive and eventful travels throughout India as renounced mendicant, teacher, philosopher, spiritual preceptor, and mystic. During this period of 6 years, Sri Chaitanya transmits his teachings to his principal disciples. He debates and converts many of the most renowned philosophers and theologians of his time, including Shankarites, Buddhists, and Muslims, and incorporates their many thousands of followers and disciples into his own burgeoning numbers. A dramatic account of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's miraculous activities at the giant Jagannath Card Festival in Orissa is also included in this section. Anchalila concerns the last 18 years of Sri Chaitanya's manifest presence. Spent in semi-seclusion near the famous Jagannath Temple in Jagannath Puri in Orissa, during these final days, Sri Chaitanya drifted deeper and deeper into trances of spiritual ecstasy unparalleled in all of religious and literary history, Eastern or Western. Sri Chaitanya's perpetual and ever-increasing religious beatitude, graphically described in the eyewitness accounts of Swarup Damodar Goswami, his constant companion during the period, clearly defy the investigative and descriptive abilities of modern psychologists and phenomenologists of religious experience. The author of this great classic, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, born in the year 1507, was a disciple of Raghunath Das Goswami, a confidential follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das, a renowned ascetic saint, heard and memorized all the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told to him by Swarup Damodar. After the passing away of Sri Chaitanya and Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das, unable to bear the pain of separation from these objects of his complete devotion, traveled to Vrindavan, intending to commit suicide by jumping from Govardhan Hill. In Vrindavan, however, he encountered Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, the most confidential disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They convinced him to give up his plan of suicide and impelled him to reveal to them the spiritually inspiring events of Lord Chaitanya's later life. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was also residing in Vrindavan at this time, and Raghunath Das Goswami endowed him with a full comprehension of the transcendental life of Sri Chaitanya. By this time, several biographical works had already been written on the life of Sri Chaitanya by contemporary and near-contemporary scholars and devotees. These included Sri Chaitanya Charita by Murari Gupta, Chaitanya Mangala by Lochan Das Thakur, and Chaitanya Bhagava. This latter text, a work by Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was then considered the principal authority on Sri Chaitanya's life, was highly revered. While composing his important work, Vrindavan Das, fearing that it would become too voluminous, avoided elaborately describing many of the events of Sri Chaitanya's life, particularly the latter ones. Anxious to hear of these later pastimes, the devotees of Vrindavan requested Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, whom they respected as a giant saint, to compose a book to narrate these episodes in detail. Upon his request, and with the permission and blessings of the Madan Mohan deity of Vrindavan, he began compiling Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, which, due to its biographical excellence and thorough exposition of Lord Chaitanya's profound philosophy and teachings, is regarded as the most significant of biographical works on Sri Chaitanya. He commenced work on the text while in his late 90s and in failing health, as he vividly describes in the text himself. "I have now become too old and disturbed in invalidity. While writing, my hands tremble. I cannot remember anything, nor can I see or hear properly. Still, I write, and this is a great wonder." That's a quote. That he nevertheless completed, under such debilitating conditions, the greatest literary gem of medieval India is surely one of the wonders of literary history. The English translation and commentary, this is written by the publishers, I should have said so. The English translation and commentary is the work of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the world's most distinguished teacher of Indian religious and philosophical thought, His commentary is based upon two Bengali commentaries, one by his teacher, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, and the eminent Vedic scholar who predicted, the time will come when the people of the world will learn Bengali to read Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita. And the other, by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is himself a disciplic descendant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was the first scholar to execute systematic English translations of the major works of Sri Chaitanya's followers. His consummate Bengali and Sanskrit scholarship and intimate familiarity with the precepts of Sri Chaitanya are a fitting combination that eminently qualifies him to present this important classic to the English-speaking world. The ease and clarity with which he expounds upon difficult philosophical concepts lures even a reader totally unfamiliar with Indian religious tradition into a genuine understanding and appreciation of this profound and monumental work. The entire text with commentary, presented in 17, now, what, 10? I think the new edition is less. Anyway, they're bigger and less volumes. Lavishly illustrated volumes by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust represents a contribution. Hare Krishna, Sri Sri Kornita, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, Kijai. Presented by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust represents a contribution of major importance to the intellectual, cultural, and spiritual life of contemporary man. And that's the foreword. And this is chapter 1, Prabhupada's introduction. I guess this text doesn't have the Bengali in it. I'll bring that next Sunday. Unless we have, do we have in the bookshop some with Bengali? Okay, next Sunday. I have one copy. I mean, I have some. So this is the introduction to Adi Lila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than a combined form of Sri Radha and Krishna. He is the life of those devotees who strictly follow in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami are the two principal followers of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, who acted as the most confidential servitor of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, known as Vishvambar in his early life. A direct disciple of Srila Rupa Goswami was Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. The author of Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, stands as the direct disciple of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. The direct disciple of Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was Narottam Das Thakur, who accepted Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti as his servitor. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur accepted Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, who initiated Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who in turn initiated Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, the spiritual master of Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, the divine master of our humble self. This is obviously Prabhupada writing. It's interesting the way he characterizes himself as our humble self, because it's considered egotistical to, in some circles there, to say me or my, to call himself our humble self. I think that's the opposite of what Julius Caesar and Queen Victoria used to say, right? We are not amused. It's a different tradition. Since we belong to this chain of disciplic succession from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this edition of Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita will contain nothing newly manufactured by our tiny brains, but only remnants of foodstuff originally eaten by the Lord himself. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not belong to the mundane plane of the three qualitative modes. He belongs to the transcendental plane, beyond the reach of the imperfect sense perception of a living being. Even the most erudite, mundane scholar cannot approach the transcendental plane unless he submits himself to transcendental sound with a receptive mood. For in that mood only can one realize the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What will be described herein, therefore, has nothing to do with the experimental thoughts created by the speculative habits of inert minds. The subject matter of this book is not a mental concoction, but a factual spiritual exercise that one can realize only by accepting the line of disciplic succession described above. Any deviation from that line will bewilder the reader's understanding of the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, which is a transcendental literature meant for the postgraduate study of one who has realized all the Vedic literatures such as the Upanishads, the Vedanta, and their natural commentaries such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada rendered this work into English, even though he knew all his students hadn't completed all of the other works that he'd written, and before he had completed even some of the other Upanishads, Upadeshamrita, and other works. But of course, just as he started the 10th canto in the form of Krishna book before the Srimad Bhagavatam was completed, he had, because of the sense of urgency that he had, he wanted to ensure that certain works were made available in English before he would pass away from this world. So this is one of the works that he considered very, very important to finish. This edition of Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita is presented for the study of sincere scholars who are seeking the absolute truth. It is not the arrogant scholarship of a mental speculator, but a sincere effort to serve the order of a superior authority whose service is the life and soul of this humble effort. It does not deviate even slightly from the revealed scriptures, and therefore anyone who follows in the disciplic line will be able to realize the essence of this book simply by the method of oral reception. The first chapter of Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita begins with 14 Sanskrit verses that describe the absolute truth. Then the next three Sanskrit verses describe the principal deities of Vrindavan, namely Sri Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radha Govindadev, and Sri Radha Gopinathji. The first of the 14 verses is a symbolic representation of the supreme truth, and the entire first chapter is in actuality devoted to this single verse, which describes Lord Chaitanya in his six different transcendental expansions. The first manifestation described is the spiritual master, who appears in two plenary parts called the initiating spiritual master and the instructing spiritual master. They are identical because both of them are phenomenal manifestations of the supreme truth. Next described are the devotees, who are divided into two classes, namely the apprentices and the graduates. Next are the incarnations, avatars, of the Lord, who are explained to be non-different from the Lord. These incarnations are considered in three divisions: incarnations of the potency of the Lord, incarnations of his qualities, and incarnations of his authority. In this connection, Lord Sri Krishna's direct manifestation and his manifestations for transcendental pastimes are discussed. Next considered are the potencies of the Lord, of which three principal manifestations are described: the consorts in the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha, the queens of Dwarka Dham, and, highest of all, the damsels of Vraja Dham. Finally, there is the Supreme Lord himself, who is the fountainhead of all these manifestations. Lord Sri Chaitanya and his plenary expansions are all in the category of the Lord himself, the energetic absolute truth, whereas his devotees, his eternal associates, are his energies. The energy and energetic are fundamentally one, but since their functions are differently exhibited, they are simultaneously different also. Thus the absolute truth is manifested in diversity in one unit. This philosophical truth, which is pursuant to the Vedanta Sutras, is called Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, or the conception of simultaneous oneness and differentness. In the latter portion of this chapter, The transcendental position of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and that of Srila Nityananda Prabhu are described with reference to the above theistic facts. So, beginning Adi Leela. 1. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord, the Lord's incarnations, His plenary portions, His energies, and the primeval Lord Himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gaudiya to dissipate the darkness of ignorance, and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. 3. What the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman is but the effulgence of his body, and the Lord, known as the Supersoul, is but his localized plenary portion. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, with six opulences. He is the absolute truth, and no other truth is greater than or equal to him. 4. May that Lord who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever tasted before, the most sublime and radiant spiritual knowledge of the mellow taste of his service. So we'll stop there. So Prabhupada also wrote this book to give people a sense of who Lord Chaitanya is, to introduce him. He's not so well known outside of Orissa and Bengal, in northern India and western India. Very few people know about him. They might have heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they don't really know about him, what he did, or that he was a full manifestation of Krishna. When we were studying with Prabhupada back in 1966-67, there were copies of Chaitanya Chaitamrita available in English, but they had no purports. So some of us used to, it was a very hard book to get, but there was one English translation that we could get and read. So people were very eager to find out about Lord Chaitanya, even though we didn't know who he was. At our initiation ceremony, at least I had never heard of Lord Chaitanya before. I don't think many of the others did. We were pretty raw recruits. So after Prabhupada chanted on our beads, he said we should rise and put them around our necks and touch them to the feet of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's picture rested on a little altar in Prabhupada's room. So most of us didn't have any idea whose feet we were touching with our beads, but we did it because Prabhupada asked us to do it. So in this way, he was introducing Lord Chaitanya in the very beginning of our initiation, that we should get the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this book is intimated in the foreword by the publishers, is very well received in academic circles. Because, as I pointed out, there have been very few English translations of this work by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So when it appeared, people who studied Bengali and Indian literature, especially recent history, were very interested. And it was one of the books that the library party was able to sell as a complete set. Even though the whole thing wasn't done, they would sell maybe one or two volumes before the whole thing was completed. And then they would get an order for the whole thing. Of course, the whole thing, all 17 volumes, were completed in a miraculously short period of time. It was about 8 or 9 weeks, I think 3 months was the time. And this was a very miraculous thing in and of itself, because Prabhupada was translating, and he had a number of manuscripts done, but the books weren't getting published. So when he was in Los Angeles, he asked the press that they should publish the whole set, 17 volumes, or whatever, a number of volumes they were going to do. So they not only had to convert all the manuscripts into flawless English, because they were going to be going to libraries where scholars would read them, and university libraries as well as public libraries all over the world. But they also, Prabhupada was insistent that they would have paintings in them, because that's what makes them very attractive, have paintings. So it wasn't in the province of painters to paint a painting very fast. Prabhupada wanted it all done very quickly. And as the artist told me, Kauravani, you can correct me if I'm wrong in this, that in order to get all the paintings done in time, more than one person painted on one painting. Someone painted the background, someone painted the figures, the human figures, or human-like figures, and someone painted the water and animals, different. So like that, and different. So this is a kind of invasion of artists' prerogatives or license to just paint a whole painting. They don't like someone else to paint on their own painting, right? Because it's very, very subjective and individualistic. But in order to please Prabhupada, several painters painted on one painting. And they did this so that they could get them done in time. So, I don't know how many they painted, but it was probably somewhere in the realm of about between 7 and 15 every week, which means like two a day in some cases, one a day, two a day. And the books came out at the rate of 2 volumes every week, which is another miraculous thing. Actually, when Prabhupada told him that he wanted these books done in the time he wanted them done, one of the managers of the press said it's impossible. And Prabhupada said impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So they went on to 24-hour shifts to publish these books. And both the artists and the proofreaders and editors and production staff, they followed a chart, and they were actually working around the clock in shifts. one of the press managers said that he would have to wake people up sometimes at 10 in the evening or 2 in the morning or at 8 in the morning and tell them it was their shift to start editing, start proofreading. And devotees sent out notices all over the world. This was before email, asking for proofreaders because they were coming in from all over to get the job done. So books with 8 or 9 paintings and without a single, well, there were some flaws, but these flaws were so minor that they weren't really discovered. And they were, I mean, not only minor, but they were kind of subtle. They weren't things that even most devotees would notice were flaws. They had to do with subtle things in the way words were translated from Bengali. But as far as leaving out periods and other punctuation marks and misspellings, there was nothing really detectable. So in a couple of months, just 2 to 3 months, all of these volumes were brought out. And by the measure of any scholar or librarian, there was no flaws in them. They were that good. Prabhupada is noted for saying he met one scholar once who said he'd written 4, 5, or 10 books. And Prabhupada said, oh, I've written over 40 books, and there's no mistakes in them. So for all intents and purposes, they were picture perfect in terms of the language. And in the original sets, they also had the Bengali language too, so it involved getting typesetting in Bengali. And compared to the kind of machines that we have now, the apparatus used to print these books was very primitive. The main machine, they used tape cassettes and pieces of paper with holes in them. And the main machine was something that was bigger than a refrigerator. And then there were other machines that duplicated the printing. They made the things photo ready like that. So this was a big job. Not only was all this pre-production done at the rate of 2 weeks, but they had to go to printing places where there were these huge presses that were the size of this temple room and made sure that all the pictures were printed with the proper color, that the books were bound right. They had to figure out how many pages were in every volume. So it was a very mammoth task. Maybe historically it has no precedent quite like it. It's something of that magnitude, of that many volumes, with colored pictures and with English and Bengali, was ever done in that short a time. So Prabhupada proved that impossible was a word in a fool's dictionary, and by the mercy of him and Krishna, they were able to do the impossible. They put up Chaitanya Charitamrita 17 volumes at the rate of 2 weeks. Okay, so we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya ki jai.